Give me a belief about the Bible that the world says. It's a story. You believe it's true. Good for you, Jeannie. What's the world say? Keep going. Say, I can't hear you. Mythology. Story, mythology. It's a what? Man-made. There's errors in it. So you see, as we begin to talk about this, and maybe some of you right here might be shaped by some of that. Well, I heard that there were da-da-da-da-da, and I think it's just a bunch of stories. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through this whole idea of more, getting to more of the Bible. We live in... Man, it's crazy. It's an age called either multi-theism or plural theism. It used to be dualistic, but now it's even gone beyond that. That is this, it's multiple beliefs in God or multiple beliefs in a higher power. We live in that. And you're like, oh, we do? I didn't know that. Well, let me throw out a few things for you. How about the Baha'i faith? Anybody? Nobody knows that. Buddhism, you've probably heard of that. Hinduism, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Quran teaching or teaching of the Quran, Mormonism, Latter-day Saints, Sikhism, Taoism, Unitarianism, Wicca, Zulu. I mean, there is just a whole plethora. And some of you are going, really? I didn't know those things are out there. And the truth is, every single one of them has a claim to superior spirituality. Every single one of them says, if you don't go our way, you're going no way. And then what you begin to do is if you just believe it at face value, then you're sucked into something, you're sucked into a non-truth, and you begin to have belief systems based on a non-truth. Here's the truth about every single one of those. Every single one of those has a beginning in man. Let me say that again. Every single one who claims spiritual superiority has a beginning in man, meaning that man started it. Man goes, I think it's a great idea. I think we'll do, and I think we'll worship. Go back to the Old Testament when they began to, I think it's a brilliant idea to worship golden cows. Brilliant idea. And God said, bad idea. And throughout history, we can see how man's idea of spiritual superiority has been foiled because God, he says this, Christianity. Everybody say Christianity. Good. Is the only religion that is backed by history, archaeology, scientific research, and oral tradition. Every single one of us. So let me ask you a question. Would you like to believe something that is popular in Hollywood? Or do you want to believe something that is popular with God? So we have this document that's called the Bible. Well, what do we do with the Bible? I believe that we can do more with God's Word than we can do without it. I believe God's Word has something to say to us that's going to direct us and guide us more every single moment of every single day than we live without it. And so I've put a couple things for you to write on. If you want to, go ahead. That'd be great. We begin more of the Bible because it teaches us spiritual truths. Here's the question. Where do you go for your spiritual understanding? Somebody please don't say Facebook. Please don't say Facebook. Where do you go for your spiritual understanding? Some people go to the church, and some people go to the pastor, some people go to their Sunday school teacher. But where do you go for spiritual understanding? What if your pastor wasn't available? Where would you go for spiritual understanding? What if your pastor was gone with the Sunday school teacher? Oh. Where would you go for understanding? So the Bible says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that all Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I did an entire sermon series on this passage of Scripture, and hopefully you remember that, those of you that were here. And I actually challenged you to memorize this passage of Scripture, that all Scripture is God-breathed. Why is all Scripture God-breathed? Because it becomes useful for us. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, so that we can actually go out and do God's work. Listen, as a parent, I hope that the times of correcting and training that you give to your children is based on principles that you've learned from the Bible. Some people say, well, that's not real popular today. Okay. Hell's not real popular today either. So all Scripture is God-breathed, and then there's this part of this whole thing of, well, here's two questions. What if you do want more? What if you don't want more? What if you just say, hey, I've got all, I learned John 3:16 as a kid, and I think I learned Proverbs 3:5-6 as a kid, and I think I'm good there. What if that's all I wanted to learn? Well, what if you would say, what if just hearing it was okay? What if just hearing it would be okay? What if doing what the Bible said was hard? How many of you guys have read passages in the Bible and say, that's hard? Somebody better say yes. That's hard. Okay. James 1, 22 through 25. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Stop right there. Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this and continues to do this and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, but doing it, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. How many of you guys have prayed for God's blessing? Duh, right? We all do, right? We're like, oh, God, bless me. Oh, God, bless me. He goes, hey, how about the Bible? And you go, the what? So we look intently into that. What it would be like this, you go through all the trouble, you're not feeling great, you go through all the trouble and you go, hey doc, I need some help. And you go to the doc and the doc says, hey, you know what, I see what's going on here and I think there's this issue here. You know what, go to your local pharmacy and here's what I want you to be able to do. I want you to take these, you know, take them 3 times a day for the next 10 days and I promise you at the end of that, you know, and if you're not feeling better, come back and I'll give you something else. You guys have all heard that speech? Every single one of you. And anybody go and you go through that whole thing and you go to the pharmacy and you get back and you take your pills, you set them on the counter and you just set them on the counter. And you just set them on the counter and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, doc, you know, I'm not getting any better. I still feel like, and he's like, well, did you take? Well, no, I didn't. Well, and here's what the Bible says. Don't just merely listen to it, but do what it says. So what if I said to you, every single one of you here in this room should be able to come up here and finish this message and preach it? You went, uh-oh. Because you've heard it. You've been there. You're like, yeah, I've heard this. I know how to do this. I should be able to, but I don't want to do it. I don't like that. Bible says, don't just merely listen to it. Don't just sit through Sunday school week after week after week after month after year after decade after. Don't just sit there. Do it. Don't just come to church and listen and go, oh, that was nice, and then come back and do it. Don't just sit there and do those things. Go back and actually do what is being instructed to you. Why? Because the Bible says that this is God-breathed. That this is Scripture that has been given to you to teach, to rebuke, to correct, and to train. God wants to grow us up. So I ask you a question. It's a response to this. Are you a regular user? Take three times, take three pills twice a day, take one pill twice a day, read your Bible once a day. Are you a regular user of this teaching tool? We'll go on. More of the Bible, more of the Bible. Everybody say more of the Bible because it gives written hope, much better than a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards give you all kinds of written hope. You're like, oh, isn't that nice? Or the latest video craze that has Ed Sheeran singing perfect to a little grandma on a robot. It's pretty sick. The Bible gives written hope. Here's the thing. We need to believe God can do more than we can do on our own. Here's the question. Don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is. And receive the hope that is written down in the Scripture so that we can understand God's got a plan for us. John chapter 20, verse 31. For these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. These things are written. What things? Well, we just went through communion. That's one of the things that has been written. Well, what about when things get tough? Last week, there was a passage of Scripture that I went through with the psalmist, and it was this. Well, where's your God now? Where's your God now? And sometimes we can have that response. We can say, okay, God, it got really hard, so where are you now? And the psalmist deals with trouble, and the psalmist deals with some things. And yet he takes the Word of God as his resting place. Three different scriptures out of Psalm 119. You'll be grateful we didn't read the entire Psalm 119. Some of you go, why? I don't understand. Because you haven't read the Bible. Because Psalm 119 is really, really, really long. So we'll begin in verse 74. And you go, 74, that's where we begin? Yeah. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. Verse 81, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. Verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. Everybody say, I have put my hope in your word. Isn't that easy to say? Oh, it's so easy to say. But at some point, James says, are you just saying it? Or are you going, okay, I believe God can do more than I can do on my own. Why do I know that? Because his Bible says that. And so you're going through difficult times, you're going through a hopeless situation, you're going through some times of decision, some times of uncertainty, and you're saying, God, I don't get it, but I'm putting my hope in you. Why? Because the Bible reminds me to put my hope in you. And so the Bible serves as that written hope that we can have. God can do more with us when we put our hope in him. Everybody say more of the Bible because puts our focus on God. I was thinking through this. I was like, you know, it'd be kind of funny, like if you started reading this thing, it's like, this is an interesting book. Well, who's it about? You know, some people do that. And the truth is, when you pick up the Bible, you're reading about God. And so you begin to take your focus from all of this stuff that's going on out here. And let me just hit the pause button. Why in the world do we sing songs at the beginning of church? Because, you know, I realize, and we all realize, that we come in from all kinds of different things and all these influences are in our life. And you're thinking about, you know, the next greatest thing. And you're thinking about that post on Facebook. You're thinking about what the kids, you're thinking about lunch. You're thinking about all these kinds of things. You got to come in. You got to gather your thoughts. And so what singing does is it helps you gather your thoughts and begin to go, I'm not going to think about that, but I'm going to sing songs of praise. which puts my focus on God. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. This is the very beginning of the Psalms. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that man. There's going to be some people that are going to go, oh, yeah. Yeah, you Christian. You goofball. You know, you're a Christian. And blessed is the man who doesn't walk in that way, doesn't listen to those people, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't involve himself that way. But verse 2 says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Let me ask you a question. Where do you get your information from? Where do you get your information from? TV, newspaper, magazines, Facebook, Instagram, MSN, CNN, Fox. I know you're gonna go, oh, he's political announcement. No. Where do you get your information from? Where do you spend your time? Psalmist felt it be so important that on the second verse of the very first psalm that was written, he said, and on his law I meditate day and night. Back to Psalm 119. There's a beginning part of Psalm 119. We'll start at verse 9. We'll go through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? Man, you know what, parents? You got teenagers. You got people around you that you're influencing. How can you keep your way pure? Well, don't listen to the world. Well, how do you do that? Well, here's it is. By living according to God's word. How do I live according to God's word? You got to know it. How do I know it? I got to read it. How do I know it? After I read it, I got to do it. Verse 10, I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's the psalmist saying, oh God, how do I do this thing? This goes right back to James. How do I do this thing? By actually doing it, hiding God's word in your heart. What does it mean to hide God's word in your heart? It's that sense of, I'm going to read it. I'm going to understand it. I'm going to go to Bible study. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm actually going to pay attention in church. I might actually write a note or two. And then I'm going to apply it to my life. By living according to God's word. Everybody say more of the Bible, because it's God's word. It's God's word. God who spoke creation into existence. And this is where, man, we've got so many different types of religions, and religion is just, it's not all Christianity, but there are so many different types of religions, and history would love to erase this point, that it's not God's word. Somebody said it over here, that it was some sort of a mistake, or that it's made by man, or something was going on like that. But because of that, it is God's word. It begins with 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed. It doesn't mean that God ran down to Office Depot and bought a bunch of calligraphy stuff and then came back and began to write it all down. It was inspired by his every word into the hearts of men who wrote them down. And because of that, you now have the living word that is given to you. We pause this for station identification, but we'll get there. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. You don't have it up there. Don't worry. You have it in your Bible. It's not been taken out. This is actually a test. We're doing this on purpose to make sure that you can find Hebrews. It's right after Genesis, just before Revelation. If you get to Matthew, you're getting warm. You get past the Gospels, you're really getting warm. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything that is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. The Scripture becomes the standard by which we rule life. How would you know that murder is wrong if it wasn't written down in the Bible? I mean, some people are like, well, I don't know. Because there are more people that can quote the Ten Commandments and go, because God said don't murder somebody, it's written down in the Bible. So it becomes sharper than anything else, and it's alive and active, and this living Word of God reminds us that nothing is hidden from God's view. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows that some of you are going, dude, it's 11:44. He knows that you didn't have a Bible today. He knows that you haven't picked it up since some other time. He knows. He knows. Back to James, because we must give an account. Don't just listen to it. Do what it says. Everybody say, more of the Bible because? It's final. Again, many would love to debate this idea. That the Bible is some sort of an old, outdated, antiquated, historical document. There's some truth in it, some pretty cool stories. But, you know, it's from thousands of years ago. There's got to be something new. There's got to be something that is fresh. And so, you know, the Bible, it's, you know, it's okay, but it's, quite honestly, it's lived past its prime time. As if God's Word had an expiration date on it. But the Bible reminds us that not only is all Scripture God-breathed, the Bible reminds us that this document, the Bible, is final. It is God's word to us. It is final. He's not going to say anything more. Here, I'm going to give you one quick real reason why we have why you and we should have an issue with the Mormon church. I know there's people that have friends, maybe you have family members that are part of that, and maybe they don't understand, but I will tell you this. When you open up the Book of Mormon, on the very front page, before things go any further even into the index, there is a line that says, another testament of Jesus Christ. Anybody know that? A few of you did? Not very many. You mean Jesus wrote the New Testament again? Let me read Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 21. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, the book meaning the completed Bible, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. That is Jesus' words. If you're looking at your Bible, that is written in red. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And the final word is amen. So if you ever see a document that says, well, this is our companion to the Bible, run. Run. Because it's taking God's scriptures and adding man's ideas to them. Some of you might be struggling through this right now. If you are, I invite you to take me to Starbucks. Wouldn't that be nice? And we can sit down and reason together. But I will tell you this, the Revelation chapter 22 is this. It is final. It is God's word. It is for us. Don't take anything. Don't say, well, you know, murder's not really that wrong. That's taking away from. Well, there should be 10 fruits of the Spirit. No, there's 9. Don't add anything to it. It is final. So, I believe when you read your Bible, you are going to get more from God than what you can do on your own.